Good morning, everyone. How are you all today? Great to see you all. If you are a visitor, you are honored guests. We are glad to have you.
My name is John Paul. I'm a minister here. If there's anything I can do for you, or if you have a moment to stay after worship or get a chance to know you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keep having problems with this mic. I'll just stand here. I'm more handsome behind the podium, right? Okay. Today I want to talk to you about a subject that I've been thinking about increasingly. To start it off, I want to talk about this particular number. 12,704. Does anybody know what this number is? It probably doesn't mean anything to anyone in this room but me. That's very good. This number is 34 years, 9 months, and 11 days. As of today, that is how old I am. 34 years, 9 months, and 11 days. Does anybody know their number? I doubt it. I calculated mine through a website that if you enter the day you were born, it will tell you how old you are. Wait a second, buddy. And I started thinking about this because I'm not 20 years old anymore. I went to bed at 10:30 last night, and I was happy with that. And I'm a night person. I love to stay up late. I hate to sleep in. Well, not sorry, I love to sleep in. I hate to go to bed early. And I now wake up, and I hear bones crack. I'm sore all the time. It's just, Philip and Thomas asked me to give them a piggyback ride this week, and I just kept thinking, I don't know if I can do that. And this is what I am now. This is who I'm becoming. I am hitting the middle part of my life. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking right now, oh, wait, it gets better. But Peggy told me she was 84 years young today. Not today. This 84 and a half. And I was thinking, wow, that's great. That's awesome. And you look great for 84. I hope I look as great as you at 84. But I'm just not happy with this. It's quite miserable. And so, because I've been thinking about this subject a lot, I've been thinking, how much of my life have I been doing the things I've been doing? And so, at 34 years old, if I slept for 8 hours a day, and let's be honest, we know that's more, I have slept 11.6 years of my life. 11.6 years. On top of that, if you take in eating, which people spend on average 67 minutes a day eating, I've spent 1.62 years just eating. That's just me. Now, I eat very, very quickly, so I actually know this number is probably less. But for most of you who eat average, this is how you spend your day. 67 minutes a day, or at the age of 34, 1.62 years of your life would have been spent doing that. What about working? Well, this is an actual job. Let's say I started work at 20, and I worked 8 hours a day, more or less. I spent 3.2 of those years working. School's a little bit more difficult to calculate because I'm not the average person when it comes to education. And so I was only able to calculate, it's really hard for me to calculate my doctoral work, but the K through 12, BA, and MA, I spent 2.2 years, or 805 days. It says hours, it should be days. So total of my life, 18.62 years have been spent in these four activities. That's most of my life has been spent doing these four things. Does that seem like a waste of time to you? it does seem like a waste of time, but really it's not. Because all four of these things are designed to sustain my life. All four of them are designed to sustain my life. With two of them giving me the things I physically need to survive, and the other two giving me the financial resources I need to survive. So I'm okay with these four things. That means, what have I done with the other 16 years of my life? Well, I don't know. I know I spent a lot of time playing video games and watching TV and going on the internet. And maybe those are things that I should have a problem with. But I don't. I really have a problem with this number. 15,766. Any guess what this number is? That's about the number of days I've got left. If I live to average life expectancy, this is how much time I have left. Now, so this is an estimate. This number terrifies me. Because that means I, based on average life expectancy, have got a little bit more than half my life left. Now, I know I can say, I'm going to go to Jesus. And I'm excited to go to Jesus. But that doesn't mean I'm afraid of dying. Not afraid of dying. It's a scary concept, isn't it? Dealing with one's mortality. Maybe I've heard like this phrase called your midlife crisis. I don't think I'm having a crisis. I just know as I get older, I keep thinking about this number more and more. I never thought about this number in my 20s. I certainly never thought about this number in my teens. But now that I'm 34, I think about this number at least once a week, whether or not I actually know the number. And it bothers me. But there are other things that bother me, like these two numbers. And I know these two numbers bother someone else in this room as well. He's giving me a look right now. This is about how much time we have till our kids leave the house. I love my kids. There are times where I'm like, I can't wait for you to turn 18 and get out of the house. But today was when I was holding my kid because he's sick. Or yesterday when I was cheering for Philip as he played soccer. Or helping them study. I feel like it's like holding on to water. Maybe I can grip a little bit of it in my hands. But the more and more I try, the more and more it just slips through. Do you guys experience these things? Is this how you feel about life? Isn't it terrible? A little bit. And you know what? You know what's kind of sad about it? Is these three things that I've talked about, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Nothing. I can deal with my attitude about it, but I can't stop them from happening. What about this number? This is an easy number. Most of you probably recognize this number, but maybe not what it represents. This is 9 minutes. Now, this number doesn't have to do with me. This is the average amount of time someone spends with God a day. 9 minutes. So let's look at our activities here in the church. We have three times that we gather together to meet. Wednesday, Sunday, and Sunday evening. And so if you just attended those three events, that's 3 hours a day. If you went to Bible class and you went to our fellowship meal, three hours a week. That's 5 hours a week. 9 hours a day. 9 minutes a day is 63 minutes a week. In your lifetime, if you are doing just what the average person does, you will spend 178 days with God. Are we worried about this number? Well, I don't know if we're worried about it, but it's definitely a number I think we should be worried about. Because the older I get, I may not be able to stop my kids from growing up. I may not be able to stop myself needing to sleep or eat or work. But I can easily spend time with God. And so what I want to talk about today, what I'm going to spend the rest of the lesson talking about, is what it means to spend time with God. And so I had you listen to all of Psalm 71. And this is about spending time with God as you get older. And so I have 8 points about what it means to grow old with God. That means to no longer be a babe in Christ, to remember how you have leaned on God since your youth, by taking refuge with God, by speaking to God more and more, by having hope and not despair, by finding people to tell about God's wonderful acts of salvation, and knowing God is greater than I can imagine, and constantly praising His name. Now, when we read the Gospels, we read about this wonderful person called Jesus. He's awesome, in the true sense of the word. And so when we start to learn about Him, we start to learn about who He is and why we need Him. And then we decide that we want to be part of that family. And so we get baptized. And that's probably one of the best steps you can take, is that first step is saying, I believe in Jesus. So you've now become an infant in Christ. You've learned your first truth. And that's great, because it provides the foundation for all other things you do as a Christian, is that foundation. But if you never move beyond there, it serves you no purpose. Paul uses this phrase many times in his writings to talk about milk and meat. And he says that there are basically two kinds of truths. The truth that you got when you first believed, but then the truth that you have now that you've moved beyond that. Both are equally true, but both need to serve you to move forward. And if you're not going to move beyond one, what's the point? Or as the writer of Hebrews says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. So growing old with God means growing into maturity and no longer being a babe. Growing old with God, but also growing old with God means remembering who He was and what He's done for you from the beginning. You had to start somewhere. You had to start in the beginning. And because you have that foundational knowledge, you lean on that foundational knowledge into your maturity. I had a teacher who once told me that if I ever felt like I was falling short in my walk with God, to go back to my first love, that by reading the Gospels, to remind me why I am doing what I'm doing. Or as what he says in Psalm 74, or in verse 5 and 6. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb. Growing old with God means taking refuge with God and not in your troubles. I like to think I have a lot of troubles. And I like to think that I worry about what the future is going to behold. I get anxious about it. It scares me. Especially when there are things that I should have that I don't have. But can I do anything about those things? Does it help me to worry? No. But it does help me to put my trust in God. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Growing old with God means to continually put your hope in Him. Growing old with God means to praise His name constantly, to speak to Him more and more. My praise is continually of You. And how do we do that? Through prayer. It's the best way to speak to God more and more. Prayer's kind of awkward sometimes, isn't it? Because we have to, we communicate and we have to listen, but we don't listen in the same way we communicate. And it's something that we grow as we practice. So when my kids pray, they pray the exact same phrase every single time. And this is how it goes. Dear God, thank You for Mommy and Daddy and Philip and Thomas. Thank You for this food. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. And for them, that is perfect. But I've been a Christian for 14 years now. Can I expect to pray that way? What does that say about my communication with God if I am still praying that way? So as I continue to grow, my communication with God not only in itself evolves, but it becomes more constant. Just like I said before, I'm showing that I'm hoping in Him, putting my hope in Him more and more. Continue to grow with God means having... growing with God means knowing God is greater than I can imagine. I think there's an interesting shift in how we approach our walk in faith. Is when we have that faith like a child. We believe, and the child has like this unlimited faith. And that's how we look at God. And so we go through this really high mountain of our faith. And then we try to put God in a box. We try to put God in a place that can do what we want Him to do. But as we get older, we start to realize that we shift away from that because we understand that God cannot be contained. He is much greater than that. And because He is greater than that, we start to open up the possibilities as our faith grows of what He could do. And so we've actually swung back towards the pendulum as we grow older of having that faith like a child. Growing old with God means constantly praising His name. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to You, and my soul also, which You have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of Your righteousness help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to harm me. Constantly praising His name. You know what else? This is another good analogy for what I just used. Is you know who tends to be the most zealous in their faith? Is the children. They're the ones that shout it from the rooftops. They're the ones that sing at the top of their lungs. Because they understand who God is. But we should be doing that too. Growing old with God means that, yes, I understand that there's dignity that comes with that. But it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. The old and the young alike should praise Him because they both understand it the exact same way. Because who He is and who His nature is, it is much bigger than us. And it is one that is worthy of praise all day long. This is the best story of in your life is your walk with God and how you're going to do it. So growing old is scary. I think back to my years as a teen when I constantly would make my parents frustrated. I know those of you with teenagers, you're probably feeling that same way. I think back to my time in the military where I thought I knew discipline and then I learned a different kind of discipline. Then I think back to my times as the first time as a parent, knowing what real trouble was like. My life is so short-sighted compared to the big picture. And I may not be able to control growing up. I may not be able to control getting older, but I can control my relationship with God. So growing old shouldn't be scary. It should be seen as a blessing, because every day it's an opportunity that you get to walk with God and grow as a Christian. For your benefit, for God's benefit, as spreading His word, and for society's benefit. If you'd like to start that journey, or if you need help in your walk, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.